Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Well, BYU football has been the talk of the Big 12 over the last few days. Some not so good, but some actually pretty good, especially on the recruiting trail. Let's cover it all with Ben Criddle, ESPN 960 in Utah County, covering, of course, everything BYU. Played there, knows this program as well as anybody. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports, and we would love for you to right now subscribe to the show. And if you're on the podcast, leave us that 5-star rating and review. Always appreciate the radio affiliates joining us as well. So, Ben, tumultuous week for BYU football. We know what's going on with Jake Retzlaff. He's no longer with the team. He's in the transfer portal. So what is going on right now with this program, and where do things stand?
Indeed, it's been a bit of a saga, a soap opera, plenty of drama, which is good and bad. I typically abhor talking about anything to do with off-field follies and shortcomings of student athletes. You want to stick to the field, stick to the gridiron, stick to the court. But in essence, BYU starting quarterback who led BYU to an 11-2 season last year, and it was a remarkable year. The BYU Jew, as he's called, he calls himself that, was in a bit of a predicament here. Earlier this year, there was a civil lawsuit filed against him claiming sexual assault. Related to an incident that I believe occurred in November, October of 2023. When this dropped, the legal team for Jake made a declaration publicly that he was factually innocent and that they were going to fight this. And more reports came out between the two legal counsels claiming that there was a number of different things that occurred after this incident regarding the Jane Doe AG, the plaintiff, that ultimately you could conclude that she was still interested in Jake after the fact. It seemed like there were some contrary reports or incongruent reports of what occurred and how it occurred. At any rate, we heard recently that the two legal counsels came together. There was some sort of arbitration or confirmation. They agreed to dismiss the case collectively with prejudice, meaning they can't retaliate. So Jake, even though he may feel like he was innocent and claimed innocence, he can't retaliate and claim defamation or what have you. And during that process, he did admit that there was a consensual relationship. He had premarital relations with this woman, which means that he infringed on the honor code of Brigham Young University that prohibits such. So there was an internal investigation, I imagine. Jake met with the honor code, and at that time, with the evidence provided and those conversations, the honor code office internal counsel decided that a 7-game suspension was merited. And Jake decided after that he would enter the transfer portal. He's a graduate, so he is eligible. The coaching staff, I imagine, will allow him to transfer without any sort of inhibitions, any sort of prohibitions. So he's a grad transfer with 1 year of eligibility, and he's looking to play elsewhere. I'm sure there's P4, G5 teams that would be interested in a player that has played a lot of football, 17 starts at BYU, and then he was the number one JUCO quarterback in the country coming out just a few years ago in the 2024 class, coming off of his 2023 season, I believe, in JUCO. So that's where we stand, and BYU is looking for a new quarterback now.
So what does this do for a team that finished tied atop the Big 12 standings last year after a rough year one in the Big 12? How do you see not having Jake at quarterback impacting this team's chances to compete atop the Big 12 here in 2025?
I would say half of the fan base believes that this does not impact their win-loss record in 2025. And then you have the other half of the fan base that includes me that thinks you may see a dip of maybe one, two losses, you know, as my preseason prognostication. Now, anything can happen. We're going to get into fall camp. I'm going to take a look at these quarterbacks, how much progress has been made, the cohesion, chemistry, continuity, all those things, and who's going to step up in absence of a leader of the team, you know, someone who led you to 11-2 season. But I do think it does impact you. There's, you know, whenever you're disrupting an off seasons is where champions are made in football. Football is a developmental sport. Football is a culture sport where repetitions matter, right? And being in lockstep with your quarterback, like Chase Roberts, one of the best wide receivers in the Big 12 and in the country, he's got great chemistry with Jake. Does he have equal chemistry with McKay Hillstead, Trayson Borgay, Bear Bachmeyer? Obviously no, because he hasn't had as many repetitions with them. So I do think it does impact BYU. And but there are some that would point towards Jake's erratic nature, his inconsistency, his ability to look good one moment and look like a below average college quarterback the next second.
There was a lot of that too.
It's Jekyll and Hyde. The greatest thing, in my opinion, about Jake is he thought he was Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. The worst thing about Jake was he thought he was Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. Yes. And so with that internal belief, he was willing to take some chances, make some poor decisions and bad throws. But when he was on the Baylor first half, the ASU second half. There's plenty of data that shows that, hey, he's a good quarterback when he's on, and whoever gets his talents is blessed to have him, obviously. So it does impact BYU. I think BYU has a great defensive unit, has an amazing special teams unit, and they showcase that. That's been their strength. It hasn't necessarily been over the last, you know, 2 years quarterback play. Keaton Slovis didn't play well.
No.
Jake didn't play well in the four games in 2024 or 2023. And then in 2024, he was an average to above average quarterback, depending on the day. And sometimes he was a good to great quarterback on other days. So the average was that he was above average.
Is the ceiling higher with some of these other guys than it was with Jake? And if they hit on one of these guys, is it actually going to turn out to be a better deal for the Cougars?
Well, the other thing that Jake did do well, I thought, was run the football, and he was pretty gritty and was able to avoid injury, even though he ran the ball a lot. So there's a certain skill set to running without getting injured as a quarterback. And the amount of totes he took, a lot of quarterbacks end up getting injured and out for 2-3 games throughout it. So McKay, Grayson, I think McKay probably has the most upside because in high school, I mean, he was dynamic, led his team to a state championship coming off like a high ankle injury that was similar to Tua Tagovailoa in college, same surgery, and came back and led his team with a one leg to a championship. I mean, he's got some moxie. He's a little undersized, but can gallop like a gazelle. He's got a Kyler Murray, Doug Flutie feel to him. You know, he's like a 5'9", 5'10", 190-pound gunslinger that can make a lot of the throws, I think, can definitely scoot. You get him in RPO, you know, zone read type of situations, and he's going to make you pay if you're not disciplined, if you're not gap sound up front, and if you're not filling gaps on the back at second level and staying home on the third level. So it's upside. I think you're just looking right now for like status quo. You just don't want to see as many turnovers. You would rather have a game manager there. So I think if you manage the game appropriately, you're not turning the ball over. Mm. Aaron Roderick has shown within his system that if you do what he tells you to do, he's a good architect of sequential play calling, plays building off plays. Mm-hmm. I've never seen so many easy 25, 35 going in touchdown passes as I have with Aaron Roderick. He's got a lot of specials, trickeration type of plays, smoke and mirror plays once you get, especially past the 40. And so if you just manage the game, you make good decisions, the defense and the special teams are going to win football games. And that's why I think there is a segment of the fan base that is optimistic that BYU is going to be just as good without Jake as they were with Jake.
So you're not expecting anticipating any drop off for this defense, which was really tremendous last season and frankly carried that team to 11 wins.
No, I don't think so. I think you lost some good football players, obviously. NFL yeah. guys, Tyler Batty, Jacob Robinson are ballers. But you brought in Keanu Tanavasa, Justin Kirby. You really stabilized in the middle. And, like, now you're going to showcase the strength of that second level. Jack Kelly, Isaiah Glasker, and Siali Asera are all NFL linebackers. They are phenomenal. You lost Harrison Taggart, too, to the transfer portal. But Siali Asera, to me, in spring ball, like, I went to the first spring ball practice, number 54, and I immediately, after like 2-3 reps, I was like, Siali's going to take Harry's job. I said it. Like, I'm like, he's going to take his job. Like,
breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
As soon as we get Ben back on, we'll bring him in here on Heartland College Sports. Might have been just a brief disconnection there as we were talking about, of course, BYU's defense, which is expected to once again be stout going into the 2025 college football season. Thanks for being here as always. I'm Pete Mundo. We are HeartlandCollegeSports.com, where we are covering the Big 12. And I love bringing in guys like Ben and getting to talk about just where the Big 12 is at. And looking at these teams, especially during the offseason, when you know you really are trying to get a feel for where every team is at. And that's what a guy like Ben can bring to the show. So as soon as we get him back connected, we will get him right here on Heartland College Sports and get his insight. Because the other thing that I am dying to get his insight on is if you're a Big 12 fan and you want to know what BYU is thinking about their time in the Big 12, that is obviously something Ben can obviously dig into right now. So, Ben, welcome back. We got you reconnected, my man. Take me through, and I think we're getting a little feedback there on our end at least, but take me through this program, the fan base, and where you guys are at when it comes to entering year 3 in the Big 12 and how good of a fit this has been for BYU fans and, frankly, you know, the university at large as well, being in this conference. What's that been like for you guys here as we get set for year 3?
Well, I apologize for the feedback. Let me see if I can fix it here momentarily. Sorry about that.
You're all good.
But
you're clear now. Nope, we're good.
Okay, perfect. So, number one, I think the relationship between BYU and the Big 12 couldn't be better. From a BYU fan's perspective, I feel like the marriage between the conference, its culture, its people, its fan bases, it's perfect for BYU. I think there's a lot of bridge building, common ideologies and like-mindedness, and it just fits. It's just perfect for BYU and its fan base. So extremely happy with that. First year was, from an on the field and on the court perspective, was a bit difficult, right? A lot of losses, a lot of taking the lumps and going through that transition from independence to a Power 4, Power 5 schedule mm-hmm. across all their sports. So that was tumultuous. But we all knew that, once things stabilized and you got a little bit of revenue for the organizational design from media rights, more personnel allocated to certain maybe voids that needed to be filled in the administrative side of things within the athletic department, that, and then with NIL, no guardrails there, I think BYU could be competitive and be at the top of their game within the conference. I think we're seeing that now. So I think BYU fans just feel a significant amount of gratitude for the Big 12 conference giving them an opportunity to showcase their worth and create synergy within the Big 12 and promote the brand of the Big 12 and make it even better and more lucrative to be a part of the Big 12 family. And I think BYU's athletic department's lifting where they stand. The fans are traveling to all of the Big 12 venues and, paying for tickets, showing up, showing out. And I think it's been a fantastic, synergistic. There's been some transaction with it, but I think it's a transformational relationship. And I think it's a perfect union. I think it's a perfect marriage in college athletics.
I totally agree. Is there a venue that you have heard from Big 12 or from BYU fans on what Big 12 venue that they've liked the most in the first couple of years?
That's an interesting question. I think when they went out to Baylor, I don't know if they've ever felt so welcomed before, if that makes sense. Like when they went out to Baylor, it was, when they had received the invite but weren't necessarily part of the conversation, it was just such a warm welcome. And it was a warm embrace for a program, an athletic department that had been wandering the wilderness, right? Like it just wandering the wilderness of college athletics, being shunned and stiff-armed from the power conferences for so long. I mean, it's just it was a warm embrace and welcome, and I think they just loved it. That I time and time again I hear from BYU fans that they really enjoyed heading out to Waco because of that experience. Now, as far as a venue is concerned, I don't know if there's been one that has just blown them away or like they were just in awe or anything like that. But I know the experience that they had out in Waco was impactful because of the long wait that occurred and then the warm embrace that occurred after the invite. It was impactful to say the least.
What has it been like having the Holy War back and doing it in a Power 4 conference? Is that something BYU fans are leaning into, or what's the read on that from BYU side?
Oh, BYU fans love the rivalry. They've always wanted the rivalry. They look at it as a bar. I think it's been the University of Utah that has always tried to get away from it. They don't want it. They don't need it. They were part of the Pac-12. They kind of wanted to stiff arm BYU, but I think, greater minds and prevailed at least during that independence. And so even in so much that, in one year, 2015, ESPN matched up BYU and Utah in a bowl game, even though because the rivalry game hadn't been scheduled in the regular season or in the non-conference. So anyway, I love it. I think college football and the pageantry that surrounds college football has everything to do with rivalries. I think when you have athletic directors, you have conference commissioners, you have media entities that are puppeteering things and trying to make the most money out of their teams and their sports, what's lost on all of it is the student athlete. The student athlete is the one who suffers, I believe, from not having rivalry games and that experience that anecdote. We're only as good as our anecdotes in life. And that rivalry game is extremely impactful for any player that has ever played in it. And you go across the country and all football players will say the same thing. That rivalry game was massive. They were invested in emotionally, psychologically, physically. It just meant more. And so you're stealing that from student athletes under the guise of whatever amateurism, under the guise of, you know, all these things, right? Like, oh, we have to pay our bills. We need these media rights. They're sacrificing, you know, those experiences, those iconic experiences of the student athletes. So I think BYU fans are leading into it. Obviously the media locally loves it. We're elated that it's back, the Holy War. There's nothing like the Holy War in college football.
Last thing, Ben, we knew that you guys were going to get a lot of these late night kickoff games when BYU came to the Big 12, especially prior to all the Pac-12 teams coming in. So with that being the case, what are you guys thinking about the amount of late night kickoffs, especially at home, that you're getting? Are the fans just okay with it, accepting it? Or is there some, boy, I wish we had a little earlier kickoff here once in a while?
Well, I think they understand that this is still a business, and we're in the state of Utah, and we're on the Mountain West, time zone, and Mountain Standard Time. And so you're going to get those late night kickoffs. It's not fun in November. It's not fun in late October, but just going back to that idea of gratitude, I think they're just grateful that they're finally a part of a conference, part of a team, and they can add value to that conference. They can add value to their partners in such a way that hopefully in turn will create, you know, gratitude towards their brand, their image, their product here in Provo. So although it's sometimes a pain, there are many BYU fans that love the fact that they can watch all of the college football games. They can go to their kids' practices and games on Saturday and all the activities. They can go to Costco, do all their shopping. They can do their yard work. They can, you know, get all the to-dos, the honey-dos done. And then they can head out to Lavelle Edwards Stadium for an awesome Saturday night spectacle under the lights of Lavelle and Cosmo and fire dancers and football. And there's nothing like a game at Lavelle Edwards. There just isn't. And if you haven't experienced the lights of Lavelle with the backdrop, I think it's one of the most iconic backdrops in college football. If it's not the best, it's one of the best. On a beautiful evening in Provo, Utah, you need to do it. You're missing out if you haven't experienced that. It'll leave an indelible, you know, imprint on your mind, body, and football soul, in my opinion. So pros and cons, obviously, but I think the pros far outweigh the cons. And I think, once again, BYU fans are just grateful that they're in a conference amongst like-minded people. And quite honestly, this day and age, Pete, with everything that's going on in the world, it's nice to have alignment of culture and like-mindedness and value systems in faith and football in all of the things that the Big 12 conference, I think, represents. So, man, I have an attitude of gratitude as well as the rest of our Cougar fans, I think.
That's great. I love it. And it's on my bucket list, as we were talking about before I came on, or we came on the air. Three little kids make it tough, but it is on the bucket list. And we hope that you'll check out Ben Criddle, ESPN 960. Find him on social media. He is a great follow. If you're just a Big 12 fan and want to know what's happening with BYU in general, you can find him on social media. Criddle Benjamin is the best way to check him out and see what he's got going on. He's also the owner of the BYU apparel brand Royal Army, and he's also, as an entrepreneur, he's the part owner of Orthos Pros of Utah, providing orthopedic and sports medicine devices for rehabilitation, pain management, injury prevention, and post-operative care. So check him out there as well. Ben, you are great. Thank you for coming on the show. We so appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate you guys.
You bet. And we are Heartland College Sports. We hope you'll check us out, of course, by subscribing to the channel, the podcast. And as always, we appreciate our radio affiliates. Have a great day.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.